Pug Fair is a lifetime of memories, atmosphere, enjoyment, organisation, fun, crack, highlights, lowlights, the lot. I think Pug Fair is very special to the people of Killoglan because it's so unique. It's the only place in the world where we crown a goat as king and the people elect the goat. And people come from all over the world to see that we're... They can't believe that we're doing it, but we are doing it. It's been going on for at least 400 years. The first time it's mentioned in history books is 1613, when King James I gave a charter to the local landlord, Jenkin Conway, gave him permission to charge tolls at the fair. But I think it's going on long before that. It's probably a pagan festival marking the start of Lunasa. There was four great festivals in pagan time. There was Imbolg in February, there was Beulten in May, Lunasa and Samhain with autumn. And Pug Fair marked the start of the autumn. And it's probably going on since then. But we don't care how long it's going on. The important thing is it's still going on.
Just to mention, Dion, it gets overlooked an awful lot. And I was talking to Marcella, our PR person for 2022, is that Pug Fair, we take it for granted. And you ask young people, maybe Alicia, the Queen, wouldn't have known before this year that Pug means a male goat. And Declan says, we crown a goat. We don't just crown a goat, we crown a wild mountain goat. He's taken from the wilds of the Migilicuddy Reeks, and he is wild. And because he is wild, he needs to be tamed, and he needs to be relaxed. So he's caught well in advance, so that he gets used to the procedures over the 3 days of Pug.
Mm-hmm, that he's relaxed and whatnot.
He's relaxed, yeah.
What's it like catching him? Is it hard?
Well, the goat catcher isn't here at the moment, so we can't speak for him. He has a method for catching him, I suppose, to make sure that he's trapped safely and not harmed. There's any harm to the goat, and he just kind of corrals him. I'd say maybe he's a group of people, farmers who live in the vicinity, and they go. We won't say goat hunting, goat viewing, and when they see a fine specimen, they manage somehow to corral him in and bring him down, say, into, say, captivity in some respects on the farm, where he's well looked after and fed the best of stuff that's suitable for a goat to eat. And we'll advise, of course, by our chief goat veterinary officer, who happens to be Paddy O'Shea, the vet.
The goats are wild because years ago we had a Swedish television crew. They wanted to film the capturing of the goat, and we had located a herd of goats up in the mountains. And they were there the night before, and the crew arrived in the following morning. No sign of the goats. It's been about 4 hours in the mountains before they were able to find them again. So they are wild.
And obviously you grew up your whole life seeing Pug Fair every year. What's it been like?
Busy. Huge effort with everybody in preparation for it. The week of Pug and trying to get everything in, but once it starts, then it's smooth sailing.
And that's obviously a big deal for your family, obviously, you having the Starlight Diner right in the centre of town. Have you any memories of that?
I saw my first Pug when I was 12 years old. For 2 weeks before Pug and the week of Pug, we were always shipped out of town to my grandparents in Bardove. So I was 12 when I saw the first Pug and didn't realise what was happening, and I haven't left Pug since. part of the package now with Pug. Yeah, so we've done 50 years in business. We celebrated in April. Mm-hmm. Sadly, we lost my father in October. Mm-hmm. And he would be very proud.
Mm-hmm.
Very proud.
Very good. And you have your little daughter here who's going to be Queen of Pug. What's your first name?
Alicia Williams.
Alicia, what's it like to be Queen of Pug this year?
It's amazing. Putting on the dress is just like a fire of excitement, and walking around the town crowning the goat is going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm. Are you excited?
Very excited.
What do your roles include now for this year?
My roles include saying a speech up in the stand in 6 different languages and crowning the goat.
Oh wow, and what languages are they?
Irish, English, German, French, Spanish and Polish.
Oh wow, how did you learn those?
Google.
Marcella,
tell us your roles here for the Pug Fair.
I guess I'll just be shepherding the press around on the actual day of Pug Fair, just keep them from trying to climb up the stand and be next to the goat, because that would be a big problem for insurance. And then just trying to keep everybody informed of what's happening this year, keep the press informed, because it's going to be kind of a historic Pug Fair this year. We have the Sam Maguire is going to be in the Pug Parade for the first time in history. Normally, wow. The All-Ireland is one in September. This year is one early. So for the first time in history, we'll have the Sam Maguire.
What can we expect for the 3 days of Puck this year? Obviously a big 3 year absence, so we're expecting big things.
Yeah, there's been a real build up of excitement. You can kind of see that around Killorglin right now. It's like Christmas time, you know. People are coming back to Killorglin, people who have been away, people are out decorating, putting out signs. Everybody is pitching in. That's the amazing thing about Puck. Everybody in town has a little job to do, you know. People have baked us Puck cakes, people have cleaned up signs for us. We're on the hunt for things that have gone missing because we haven't had Puck in 3 years. So, like, everybody in town is just really excited, and it is going to be the best Puck ever.
And obviously with Puck Fair, a lot of it is volunteers as well. So have you had a good commitment of people helping out this year?
Yeah, there is a real community spirit in Killorglin around Puck Fair. Everybody will do something. We got people baking Puck cakes for us. We have people cleaning up banners, hanging up lights, helping us track down things that we lost because we haven't had Puck in 3 years. And we always store things around, you know, different businesses in town, or people have things stored in their sheds or whatever. So yeah, there's a real effort. There's a real buzz around town. Everybody is out in the streets putting up signs, getting ready. It's like Christmas. It's nearly like Puck Fair is like our version of Mardi Gras or something, you know. So it hasn't happened in 3 years, so there's a real buzz.
Journey, am I come over to yourself?
Of course, yeah.
What's your role with Puck Fair?
I suppose I've no official title. we're not very pompous. And I'm involved, I suppose, from, I think it's my third decade with the two Declans. We started back in 1989, I suppose.
Fourth decade.
I don't tell my age. I suppose back thinking about it recently, just 1989, because one of the queens actually produced a picture here one night. She was Queen of Puck and now on the committee, and she said her last Puck was 1988, when things had gone really, I suppose, downhill. Involvement wasn't great. It was left to a few people, and I remember there was a big public meeting in town, and it was like, this festival is unique. There is nowhere in the world like it. It's on our doorstep. There are towns and villages around Ireland creating festivals every year, trying to get people home, trying to create momentum, trying to get businesses, you know, a bit of, a high intake of cash. And here we have Puck Fair, and it's falling apart. And we were, the two Declans, myself, and I think 10 were roped in with a big debt, no money, didn't know where to start, and through hard work over the years have built it up to this amazing festival. And I think we can just be very proud as a committee that it's where it is now, because it doesn't happen, as Marcella says, it doesn't happen overnight. We work hard from early spring, weekly meetings, behind the scenes. You know, we don't have an office space. The office is in my house. There's phones ringing like at 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, there's emails coming in all the time. But we rally through as a team, and we've become great friends through the years. And we all have our jobs, but yet everybody helps everybody, which is a big thing.
Mm-hmm. And obviously Puck Fair helps the whole community with businesses, shops, pubs, whatnot. So I'm assuming a lot of people do get involved and supported in that sense.
Exactly. And I suppose on a positive side, like, I would never have thought, I've never missed a puck yet. I was born and raised in the town, and from the age of 3, I have all the memories of Puck Fair, and I wouldn't be anywhere else on those 3 days. Even if someone gave me one way ticket anywhere, no way, I'm staying in Puck. Never missed it. I think it's like, you never missed a Puck yet. But I suppose I never thought it wouldn't happen. And I remember when in 2020, when we were told, you know, obviously guidelines are in place, it was a shock. It was a really big shock that no one ever expected in the history books that Puck wouldn't happen. And then last year was even harder to take, because we really thought we were back after a year, and we had hoped and hoped that it would happen. So I think people realised it. You know, there was an expectation, oh, it's just like it happens every year. But then when it didn't happen, I think people realised the impact it had in the town, and even not even the businesses, on the social side of it, like people coming home, meeting up with friends, school friends that you probably don't see from one end of the year, because Christmas weather isn't tend to be, you know, as good as in the summertime, and it's brighter evenings than that. And for me, going down the street, you know, you meet people that I know their first names, I know roughly that what county they are, I don't know the last names, but I expect to see them at the same place every Puck. And that was kind of hard, walking down the streets when the town was deserted, no stand up. It was always there. It was a vision always on the 10th of August. The Puck Fair stand was up. It wasn't up for 2 years. So I think people rallied around this year more, and the support has been great to us as a community. And we've asked for people who have come and helped out. And we've had volunteers. Well, we put out a pledge. People have volunteered to help us out, give a few hours. That's all we need. Mm-hmm. We don't expect someone to be 12 hours on the street, but at the peak times when we need bodies to help out or just do a job for us, there are people rallying around to do it. So it's great.
And I suppose something personally for my own self is, when I think of Puck Fair, I think of Gemma's hot dogs.
Ah. And she's back. With a vengeance, yeah. And there are things like that you don't see, you get for the tree. And there's other little, I suppose, businesses that convert from what they're doing to provide a service. And yeah, Gemma's hot dogs. So yeah. Big shout out. We'll be there every night. Once the concert's on, we run up the street to get the hot dog.
Very good. And Declan, obviously, you being in the centre of town as well, running a pub here, what's it like? What's the chaos like with Puck Fair for the 3 days?
It's not too bad. It used to be kind of worse when I was smaller, like, because that time pubs were open for 72 hours. And that changed in 1971 when there were objections to the licence, and it was reduced to 4 o'clock. And now it's a very, what shall I say, civilised 3 o'clock each morning. So it's pretty chaotic. Yeah, the lead up to it, as Caroline said, in the Starlight, the lead up to it is worse than anticipation, is worse than participation. Once you get into it, you're up and running. You know, the adrenaline kicks in and you get going. So it's the day or two before it, when the nerves are hitting you, you're wondering, is everything in place, both from a business perspective and from the Puck Fair organising committee perspective. So it's kind of pretty chaotic now, because I'm kind of involved in the committee with my good wife, Breda. It does most of the background work here and organising the staff rosters and keeping the show on the road, so... It's good. It's a great feeling. I just want to, Geraldine said she's involved 3 or 4 decades. For those who don't know, Declan has been involved for about 9 decades in Puck Fair now. I've been involved for about 7 decades. So he has enough fingers in one hand to count how many decades involved. There's lots of stories. Like when Geraldine said, when I was young, about 3 or 4, I was shipped, like Caroline, because we were of no use, only coming away here, I was shipped back down to Scotland, my mother's home country, for about 2 or 3 weeks, and I have great memories of that. And when I was teaching in Scolvilla, I used to recount to the kids how I used to have to go back the road for 2 buckets of water to the well to bring it back. And of course, they thought I was living back in the years of Jimmy and Vara High, going back to the turn of the century. And it was quite true. And it was a great experience and a great memory to come back to the house and after 2 weeks. And it felt like I'd been in the Costa del Sol for about 3 months. And I felt the house was painted and everything was brand new. Then, of course, when we got old enough to do something useful, we were employed as glass collectors or bottle washers or doing something useful around the house. Yeah. It was pretty chaotic. Yeah.
Earning your pocket money for the bazaar then after.
Correct. As I was talking to somebody recently, the puck money. He was telling me, Sean McCartney, he's from Limerick, who gives me a hand out in the street with my street traders group. There's Lisa Cork, who does Library Place, and I have a posse of about 7 fellas who corral the patrol, the town element of it itself. But he was telling me that he was telling his now grown-up sons, who were about 21, 22, that he said, don't forget the puck money, lads. And they said, what do you mean the puck money, Dad? Well, the puck money, remember when you were small, you all got puck money because you went to your aunts and uncles and they all gave you money. And it says, now it's your turn to give the puck money. You could see their faces dropping. The shoe is now on the other foot, having to give rather than take.
Didn't even expect it.
Yeah, correct. Very good. Yeah.
And Declan, finally, one question, and a lot of people who aren't from around the Mid-Kerry area don't understand, why is Puck Fair always the 10th, 11th and 12th?
Well, historically, the 1st of August, the local saint was St. Lawrence, and that's how Killoglan maybe got the name Killor Con. And they usually in a fair, the patron fair is the patron saint's fair, and that was the 1st of August. When the calendar changed and the 10 days were added on, it became the 11th of August, and so that was the St. Lawrence's festival. And so there was a gathering for the day before the fair and a scattering for the day after, and that's the 10th, 11th and 12th. But Puck Fair has worldwide impact. Years ago, there was the girl that was Puck Fair, her father had been a cadet in the army, and fellas who were trained with him were out in the Lebanon. And 2 days after Puck, he got in the post a picture, probably a week after Puck, a picture of the front page of the newspaper in the Yemen, and it was a picture of his daughter crowning the goat.
That's a lovely image to have.
Isn't it? Yeah. And years ago, during the foot and mouth, was probably the biggest crisis we had in recent times, and we only got permission to get the go-ahead to have the goat from the Department of Agriculture, but we were warned that we had to isolate the goat. So we built a special goat mobile.
And like the Pope mobile.
The goat was all encased in perspex, and all the staff, all the people had white suits. And apart from the health and safety, it was a fantastic publicity thing.
Very good. You were making it a thing before it became a thing, really.
It's like a sci-fi movie.